Chapter 9. Self-Confidence. One of the greatest salesmen this country has ever seen was once a clerk in a newspaper office. It will be worth your while to analyze what part self-confidence played in the method through which he gained his title as the world's leading salesman. He was a timid young man with a more or less retiring sort of nature. He was one of those who believe it best to slip in by the back door and take a seat at the rear of the stage of life. One evening, he heard a lecture on the subject of this lesson, self-confidence, and that lecture so impressed him that he left the lecture hall with a firm determination to pull himself out of the rut into which he had drifted. He went to the business manager of the newspaper, asked for a position as an advertising salesman, and was put to work on a commission basis. Everyone in the office expected to see him fail, as this sort of salesmanship calls for the most positive type of sales ability. He went to his room and made out a list of certain merchants on whom he intended to call. One would think that he would naturally have made up his list of the names of those whom he believed he could sell with the least effort, but he did nothing of the sort. He listed only the names of the merchants on whom other advertising salespeople had called without making a sale. His list consisted of only 12 names. Before he made a single call, he went to the city park, took out his list of 12 names, and read it over 100 times, saying to himself as he did so, "You will purchase advertising space from me before the end of the month." Then he began to make his calls. The first day he closed sales with 3 of the 12 impossibilities. During the remainder of the week, he made sales to 2 others. By the end of the month, he had opened advertising accounts with all but one of the merchants on his list. For the ensuing month, he made no sales because he made no calls except on this one obstinate merchant. Every morning when the store opened, he was there to speak with this merchant, and every morning the merchant said no. The merchant knew he was not going to buy advertising space, but this young man didn't know it. When the merchant said no, the young man did not hear it. He kept right on coming. On the last day of the month, after having told this persistent young man no for 30 consecutive times, the merchant said, "Look here, young man, you have wasted a whole month trying to sell to me. What I would like to know is, why have you wasted your time?" "Wasted my time, nothing," he retorted. "I have been going to school and you have been my teacher. Now I know all the arguments that a merchant can bring up for not buying, and besides that, I have been drilling myself in self-confidence." Then the merchant said, "I will make a little confession of my own. I, too, have been going to school, and you have been my teacher. You have taught me a lesson in persistence that is worth money to me, and to show you my appreciation, I am going to pay my tuition fee by giving you an order for advertising space." And that was the way in which the Philadelphia North American's best advertising account was brought in. That one sale also marked the beginning of a reputation that has since made that same young man a millionaire. He succeeded because he deliberately charged his own mind with sufficient self-confidence to make that mind an irresistible force. When he sat down to make up that list of 12 names, he did something that 99 people out of 100 would not have done. He selected the names of those whom he believed it would be hard to sell, because he understood that out of the resistance he would meet with in trying to sell them would also come strength and self-confidence. Self-confidence begins at home. From having analyzed more than 16,000 people, the majority of whom were married, I have learned something that may be of value. You have it within your power to send your spouse away to his or her work, business, or profession each day with a feeling of self-confidence that will carry them successfully over the rough spots of a day and bring them home again at night, smiling and happy. A man I know well married a woman who had a set of false teeth. One day, his wife dropped her teeth and broke the plate. The husband picked up the pieces and began examining them. He showed such interest in them that his wife said, "You could make a set of teeth like those if you made up your mind to do it." This man was a farmer whose ambitions had never carried him beyond the bounds of his little farm until his wife made that remark. She walked over, laid her hand on his shoulder, and encouraged him to try his hand at dentistry. She finally coaxed him to make the start, and because of her encouragement and his self-confidence that grew from it, he became one of the most prominent and successful dentists in the state of Virginia. I know him well, for he is my father. No one can foretell the possibilities of achievement available to the man or woman whose partner supports and encourages bigger and better endeavor. It is your right and your duty to encourage your mate until he or she finds an appropriate place in the world. You can induce your mate to put forth greater effort than can any other person in the world. Make him or her believe that nothing within reason is beyond reach, and you will have rendered a service that will go a long way toward winning the battle of life. One of the most successful men in his line in America gives entire credit for his success to his wife. When they were first married, she wrote a creed which he signed and placed over his desk. This is what it said. I believe in myself. I believe in those who work with me. I believe in my employer. I believe in my friends. I believe in my family. I believe that God will lend me everything I need with which to succeed if I do my best to earn it through faithful and honest service. I believe in prayer, and I will never close my eyes in sleep without praying for divine guidance to the end that I will be patient with other people and tolerant with those who do not believe as I do. I believe that success is the result of intelligent effort and does not depend upon luck or sharp practices or double-crossing friends, fellow men, or my employer. I believe I will get out of life exactly what I put into it. Therefore, I will be careful to conduct myself toward others as I would want them to act toward me. I will not slander those whom I do not like. I will not slight my work no matter what I may see others doing. I will render the best service of which I am capable because I have pledged myself to succeed in life, and I know that success is always the result of conscientious and efficient effort. Finally, I will forgive those who offend me because I realize that I shall sometimes offend others, and I will need their forgiveness. Signed. The woman who wrote this creed was a practical psychologist of the first order. With the influence and the guidance of such a marriage partner, any man or woman could achieve noteworthy success. Analyze this creed, and you will observe how freely the personal pronoun is used. It starts off with the affirmation of self-confidence, which is perfectly appropriate. You could not make this creed your own without developing the positive attitude that would attract people who would aid you in your struggle for success. This would be a splendid creed for every salesperson to adopt. Mere adoption, however, is not enough. You must practice it. Read it over and over until you know it by heart. Then repeat it at least once a day until you have literally transformed it into your mental makeup. Keep a copy of it in front of you as a daily reminder of your pledge to practice it. By doing so, you will be making efficient use of the principle of autosuggestion as a means of developing self-confidence. Never mind what anyone may say about your procedure. You know that any idea you firmly fix in your subconscious mind by repeated affirmation automatically becomes a plan or blueprint that an unseen power uses in directing your efforts toward the attainment of the objective named in the plan. Just remember that it is your business to succeed, and this creed, if mastered and applied, will go a long way toward helping you. If you think you are beaten, you are. Henry Ford made millions of dollars each year because he believed in Henry Ford and transformed that belief into a definite purpose, backed with a definite plan. The other machinists who worked with Ford during the early days of his career envisioned nothing but a weekly pay envelope. That was all they ever got because they demanded nothing out of the ordinary of themselves. If you want to get more, be sure to demand more of yourself. Notice that this demand is to be made on yourself. Perhaps you have wondered why a few will advance to highly paid positions while others all around them, who have as much training and who seemingly perform as much work, do not get ahead. Select any two people of these types and study them, and the reason why one advances and the other stands still will be quite obvious to you. You will find that those who advance believe in themselves, and they back their belief with such dynamic, aggressive action that others can recognize it in them. You will also notice that this self-confidence is contagious. It is impelling. It is persuasive. It attracts others. You will also find that those who do not advance show clearly by the look on their face, by the posture of their body, by the lack of briskness in their step, by the uncertainty with which they speak, that they lack self-confidence. No one is going to pay much attention to those who have no confidence in themselves. They do not attract others because their minds are a negative force that repels rather than attracts. In no other field of endeavor does self-confidence or the lack of it play such an important part as in the field of sales. And one does not need to be a character analyst to determine on first meeting whether a salesperson possesses this quality. If you have it, the signs of its influence are written all over you. You inspire customers with confidence in you and in the goods you are selling the moment you speak. This brings to mind a familiar poem which expresses a great psychological truth. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it is almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out of the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but soon or late, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Commit this poem to memory and use it as a part of your working equipment in the development of your self-confidence.